And you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Dear friends in Christ, this night is really all about two things. I mean, the Christmas season is filled with so many good things: warm feelings, sentimental songs, presents, traditions, time with family. And all of these are good and wonderful things. But when all of those trappings of the season fade away, we really are left with the twofold reason that we gather this evening. See, this night is all about your sin and the Savior who comes to save you from it. And you will call his name Jesus, the Greek word for Yeshua, which is Hebrew for salvation. You will call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. And so we gather tonight not just to sing familiar Christmas carols that recall memories of seasons past. We gather not only to experience those feelings of awe and wonder, or to gaze in pride at our beautiful sanctuary. We gather not only to light our candles to sing Silent Night in the Dark. I mean, we certainly do all those things, and they're fine things to do, but as good as they are not the primary reason we gather tonight. Rather, we have made ourselves present to hear about, to worship, to reverence, to adore the God who makes himself present among us. His name is Jesus, and he is your salvation from your sin. Now, of course, we are by nature kind of put off by this claim. I mean, we would much rather this evening sort of remain on the surface level of things. I mean, don't we come here to just kind of make family memories, right? Isn't church on Christmas Eve just kind of the tradition that makes Christmas Christmas? Isn't it sort of what mom would want? Isn't it a time of peace and joy and happiness and good cheer? Isn't this where we come to think about the cute, cooing baby in the manger, how he comes on such a serene and tranquil night, how the tale of his birth gives us a little injection of holiday happiness, a little more goodwill toward our fellow man? Isn't this when we come to be reminded about how giving is better than receiving, how we should cherish our time with our family, how if we treated every day like Christmas, man, the world really would be a better place? That's what the greeting cards and the TV Christmas specials and the radio ramblings would all have you believe. And then you come here, and we crack open the Christmas story from Matthew, and we have this angel who's got to drag our sin into it. You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. And you see, when the sin word enters the picture, then everything changes. Because that implies that we need saving, right? That all is not right. That we aren't just fine the way we are. That there's actually something wrong, not with the world out there, but with you. With me. And this angel doesn't say that the child will save us from sin in general. No, he makes it personal. He says he will save his people from their sins. That is, the sin that is ours, the sin that we own, the sin that belongs to us and originates from within us, and yes, the sin that we even nurture and care for like a household pet. Yes, with this one word, Matthew reminds us that we aren't full of goodness. We don't love others as much as we love ourselves, no matter how much encouragement the Christmas season gives us. We don't love God as much as he requires. Matthew reminds us with this one little word that to place any kind of hope in humanity to save the world is a fool's errand. We will only come up disappointed every time. See, we desperately need salvation. So what does God do? Well, he makes himself present. And not just in some vague, spiritual, misty kind of way, as if he's just kind of present in my heart or in my good attitude towards somebody or in the spirit of the Christmas season that fills the air. No, he does far better than that. He makes himself physically, tangibly, touchably present in historical time and space without any help from us. He makes himself present completely outside of us. Not as a great and mighty king who would come and overthrow earthly tyrants, but as a helpless child. A helpless child whose infant cheeks his mother would kiss, whose tiny hands would grasp the calloused fingers of his father, whose little eyes, which had seen the dawn of time, would gaze into his mother's as she rocked her Lord to sleep, whose little ears maybe even heard Mary's Magnificat as a lullaby. I mean, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? It's a beautiful picture that we put on greeting cards and we make movies about it, and we make nativity scenes that we put in our homes, but it can't stop there. Because this baby has a name that means salvation, a name that is a constant reminder of why it is he comes in the first place, Jesus, Savior from sin, your Savior from your sin. Yes, God makes himself present in the sin-wrought darkness of this world. Why? So that he can annihilate your sin. And if he did it in any other way, that would be a terrifying prospect, because when God makes himself present in the midst of sin, your sin and mine, we don't stand a chance. Because sinful people cannot stand in the presence of God's pure perfection. I mean, we wither at his righteousness. But you see, here's the incredible part. In Christ, God annihilates your sin without annihilating you. See, he wants you saved more than you do. So much so that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for you, so that all of your iniquity was laid upon Christ, so that all of your sin is destroyed and finally dealt with, and you can live to tell about it. And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. You see, it's the why, it's the purpose that Christ comes, which makes Christmas so amazing. I mean, if we just stay at the manger, adoring the cute infant who lays there, then we miss the whole point. Because the Son of God did not descend from his glorious throne just to be a cute baby in a manger. He didn't humble himself and wrap himself in your frail human flesh and blood just so that he could inspire you to sort of be a better person and live a better life. No, his reason for coming was far more pressing than that. It was to save sin-filled people who are by nature his enemies. It is to save sin-filled people who by nature hate him. It is to save sin-filled people who can't save themselves. It is to save you and me. And he doesn't wait around for you to sort of get your act together. He doesn't wait around for you to deserve it. He doesn't wait around for you to get your intentions right or to get right with God before he does his saving work. He simply comes and he saves even you. You see, it was the soft infant flesh of Jesus that would one day be pierced so that his sacrificial blood would flow and cover over all of your sin. Those little eyes, they would one day gaze at the people who nailed him to a cross. Those baby ears, they would hear the cries of hatred and disgust and the blows of the hammer. those little coos from the manger, they would become, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the little lungs that drew their first breath on that Christmas night would breathe their last on Good Friday. Well, almost. Because, of course, those lungs would breathe again. For salvation from sin is even more than forgiveness. It is complete and total restoration of everything. This whole creation, including you, which has been broken by our sin, will one day be put back to right again. And you catch a glimpse of that on that first Easter morning, when all of our sin and its nasty consequences, including death itself, are overturned. And you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. So that is why we gather tonight. That is why we gather tomorrow. That is why we will keep on gathering until our Lord returns. To proclaim, to give God praise and glory for the salvation that he has accomplished for sinners like us through his one and only servant, King, Son, the crucified and risen one, our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.